Amen. Amen. Please stand with me. Amen. Everybody okay? Who's not okay? Let us know, you know. We'll fix it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have a long message tonight, and I don't know if it'll be revelational, but I know it's from God.
Amen.
And some of the most practical lessons, the parables that God has given us, there was a man.
Amen. Uh-huh.
There was a kingdom. There were two men in one city. And you know, God brought it down so simple so it could be applicable to our lives so we could use it.
Amen.
Sometimes we get so caught up in life that we can't see the goodness of life. We have this beautiful day.
Amen.
And some have missed it because they just haven't looked. They haven't enjoyed it.
Right.
And sometimes we just need to slow down, smell the roses or the dandelions and enjoy it. This morning I came to church, actually last night I came to church, and there were dandelions all over the front stoop. And it was obvious that some child decided that dandelions were so wonderful that they picked the bouquet and then, well, they left them on the stoop. But they were enjoying life. As a child, it seems like it's so much easier, you know? Glory to God. Would you turn to Ephesians, the first chapter? We're going to dismiss our children to children's church. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ."
Amen.
This is the heavenly place where you get the blessings, right here. Amen. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Just think about that a little bit. "Having predestinated," or it's not like, okay, some will be saved and some won't, "to limit in advance in order to allow us strength in order to make it. Predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will."
Amen.
He did it because it pleased him.
Yes, it did.
"To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." According to his good pleasure. According to his good pleasure. Amen. This church serves at the good pleasure of Jesus Christ. Not the good pleasure of us, but the good pleasure of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing as we have always, that you would touch it, make it alive, make it applicable to each of our lives. And we'll give you the grace and the glory and the praise and the honor. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is a way of getting what you want from God, and I'm going to give you somewhat the formula. Some people are so frustrated because they ask and we ask and we ask and we ask and we don't get what we want from God, and sometimes we have the opinion that God is angry with us. Maybe it's because we haven't approached God in the right way, or we haven't given him what he really wants, so he can't give us what we really want. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. But how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? We do it through worship. We do it through our living. We do it through holiness. We do it by conforming to the Word of God. But there's something else that I've seen recently. Dr. Martin Luther King had a speech, and he brought to this famous saying, I have a dream. And whenever you hear, I have a dream, you think about him, because he had this dream that seemed like it was impossible, but it was a dream that eventually became somewhat fulfilled. And I was thinking today, what are some of our dreams that we have? I mean, not a dream literally. When you fall asleep, you have a dream. We all have those. I don't know where they come from sometimes. Some of the weirdest stuff, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And I don't try to analyze them or somehow interpret the dreams, because that would drive me crazy. But there are some dreams that we have when we're just young. I remember having this dream, I want to make the Little League team, you know? I loved baseball so much when I was a kid. I wanted to make the Little League team, and I made the Little League team. And then you go to the next dream, and I thought, if I could only make the All-Star team. And I made the All-Star team. And in Franksville, there is a baseball field there. And I remember at 10 years old, I was playing an All-Star game under the lights. It was the thing. It was the greatest thing in the entire world. And then I remember thinking, if I could only get a hit in the middle of this thing, you know, my grandfather is in the stands, and my mother and my father are in the stands, and even at that early age, I incorporated God into everything. God, would you help me get a hit? And sure enough, I got a double, and it was a winning double of the game. And a dream, a dream. But as you get older, well, your dreams, well, they get a little more sophisticated. It's not just about playing in Little League. And I remember praying to God that I could get this job as a claims adjuster, and God gave me that opportunity, and it started a career in insurance, and it gave me some opportunities. And then there was this girl that I met, and I said, God, if I could just have one date. And then there were the plans for this house, and God, if you just let me build this house, and if you just let me have that car, and if you just let me have that vacation. And on and on and on, I have a dream. And I was thinking just this week, you know what? God has been so gracious to me in my life that he has fulfilled so many things that I've asked for. And if you would take an account of your life, you probably could say a lot of the same things. God, you have been so gracious. I don't deserve to be where I am. I don't deserve to have what I have. But God, you have allowed me to have and to be and to do. Hallelujah. He truly has given me the desires of my heart in so many areas. And I was thinking this week, thank you, God, but I don't understand, why have you allowed me to have what I have and to experience what I've experienced? And God really answered me. We have a tendency to question God when things don't go our way. But I have questioned God about why he has allowed my dreams to be fulfilled. And maybe it's something that you ought to consider tonight. Why? Amen. His answer to me is because I have tried to fulfill his dream. If we try to fulfill God's dream, he will cause our dreams to come to pass. Amen. It's as simple as that. Amen. Not complicated, folks. We try to make things too complicated. But you know what? If you try to fulfill his dream, and I'm telling you, our God had a dream from the very beginning. Years ago, God told me very specifically, because you have opened up your house to teach the word of God in your house, I will fill my church. It was a contingency. You do this, and I'll show you. I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out a blessing. Just prove me. You know what? There are some people who are poor, poor, poor all the time because they have never fulfilled the dreams of God or the purpose of God or the scripture of God. We make things way too complicated. We struggle for things God would readily give us because we get focused on the wrong things. My God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Well, God doesn't lie. He's just saying, hey, why don't you put my thing first? And you're going to be tested throughout your lifetime. Is it God or is it me? Is it God or is it this? Is it God or that? And when we say, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and therefore he's going to open the windows of heaven and give me the things that I couldn't possibly get on my own. What about God's dream? And his dream is to have a church. His dream is to have a bride. His dream is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He even wrote it down. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His dream is that all would come to repentance. His dream would be that everybody on this earth could get saved. But you know what? That dream cannot be fulfilled by himself. That's why he has left us here, in order to help him fulfill the dream that he has. How can you help fulfill the dreams of Almighty God? It was God's dream to birth the church and to fill it with power and miracles and bring salvation to humanity. And he has given us, like he said this morning, he's given us all of the power and all of the strength that we need in order to fulfill his dream. God dreamed about it before he spoke the worlds into existence. It's been his desire. It's been his dream. It was in his thoughts before he ever said, let there be light. He had this dream long before he created the world. He dreamed it before he created Adam and Eve, before he breathed the breath of life into them, before he hung the stars or the galaxies. Have you ever looked at the intricacies of some of God's creation? Only God could have a mind and dream up some of the animals and some of the birds and some of the insects that he has, put together, fish. And we've got whales that swim in the ocean, yet they breathe air. We've got anteaters that look ridiculous, and platypuses and bats that can't see, but they use radar, you know. Only God could dream up something like that and then create it and just look at you. All this came out of the mind of God as his dream. His imagination is well beyond what we could ever imagine. You know, you can't imagine. He said it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And he's not just talking about heaven, folks. But if we ever got to the place where his dream was more important than our dream, folks, understand this, that the ultimate dream of God, before anything else was in his mind, was to have a bride. Amen. It was to have you for his name. Amen. It was his original thought. Everything else was secondary to the first dream, which was you and me. Amen. And even after the sin in the garden, the dream was still there. It was delayed. it was sidetracked for a little while, and sometimes we have dreams that we really want to take place, but then sometimes it's sidetracked. But if it's really important, you bring it back to the front again, and it can happen, you see. You see, God had a plan from the beginning. It was his first thought to redeem that which he dreamed would be his for eternity. He wasn't going to give up on it because men fouled up and sinned in the garden. He was going to continue to push on with the dream. There are too many people who give up on their dreams too fast, you know, give up on, well, it's not going the way I want it to go, and so apparently it's not that important if we give up on it. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and so it was that Jesus was born. He was God manifested in the flesh. Let's go to the book of Genesis in the New Testament. That would be John 1 and 1. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," and that word in the Greek is divine expression of Christ. So in the beginning was the divine expression of Christ, and the divine expression was with God, and the divine expression was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse number 14 says, "And the Word," or the divine expression of God, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Matthew 1 and 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It was the ultimate goal and dream of our God. God's dream from the beginning was that people could be saved from their sins. And I don't know if you have noticed that all our dreams cost something. You know, every dream. What about that dream house? Well, the door flinger, does it cost you anything? Hallelujah. What about that dream job? What about that dream car? Anything that you really want, it's going to cost you something. The same was with God. Even though his dream was that he would have a church, he knew it was going to cost him something. Dreams aren't just handed to us. There is a cost to pay. Salvation was not free. It cost life. It cost the life of our God. But it was his ultimate dream, and he was willing to pay for it because his dream was so great.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have a dream that one day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I have a dream that I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face. You know what? I am willing to pay whatever it takes. I want to make my election sure. Nothing is going to sidetrack me. Nothing is going to cause me to go in another direction. I've seen too many people who have been sidetracked because of little bumps in the road, and they decide to put their dream aside for something else. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Romans 5? Romans chapter 5, starting in verse number 8. "But God commendeth," or exhibited, "his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
Can you imagine? While we were yet sinners, he exhibited his love towards us. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath," or his punishment, "through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son," or flesh, "much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. So by one we were all made sinners, and by another, Jesus Christ, we were all made free. Long before we ever made a commitment to God. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Now, we aren't just made righteous because he died. What we have to make that application of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because it is my dream to have a people for my name. No one will ever take away God's dream. We cannot be a part of it. See, nothing can separate us from the love of God, according to Romans, the 8th chapter. Nothing, nothing. But the tragedy is we can walk away from God. We walk away from God because of offenses, or we walk away from God because of temptations, or some interruption of our dream. What you see here tonight is the ultimate dream of God. It's the church. Nothing is more precious on the face of the earth. There isn't anything that was ever built that's better than what we have sitting in the pew. Jesus died to birth his dream, and he has kicked in the door of hell and taken the keys of death and hell that he could have a dream. Amen. Our worst enemy, I said it this morning, is death, and he overcame death. My greatest desire should not be to get all that I can while I'm still above ground. And I think we somewhat have that psyche in America. I already have the best gift that man could ever receive, so do you. Amen. We have the gift of life. We have the gift of salvation. Amen. But from time to time, since I was filled with the Holy Ghost, without even understanding what I was doing, I became the keeper of God's dream. And what you have become, as God put it inside of you, a keeper of God's dream. And as I pursue the dreams of God, I saw my own dreams realized. If you don't get anything that I said tonight, you recognize that as we pursue the dream of God, just one more, snatch them out of the fire. Some have compassion, which makes a difference, according to Jude. When you fulfill God's dream, you're going to see all of your hopes and dreams fulfilled in your life. He paid the price. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly means superior in quality and even in excess, beyond measure. So God, really, he doesn't want us to be down and out. He doesn't want us to struggle from day to day. He wants to us to live on the high side, according to Isaiah 58. If we'll put aside our things, that's what it says, and keep his holy day, God says, you're going to ride on the high places of the earth. Now, he doesn't say that just to say, hey, you better do it. He's saying, here it is. It's right at my fingertips. If you'll do this, hallelujah. God's desire is that church would be filled. This is not a mandate that can be filled after we get everything else that we want. And sometimes we get to, well, you know what? If I get that house, I'm going to have Bible studies in that living room. I've heard people say that, you know? You know, if I get that van that I always want, I'm going to go through the neighborhood and I'm going to get as many people as, you know? No, it's not after you get what you want. You know, you work on God's dream first and then watch God give you what you really want. I'm telling you, it works. The time for God's dream to be fulfilled is right now. Hallelujah. God, you know what? Shake up my priorities. Put a burden in my heart, God, to do what you want first, and then I don't have to deal with all of the other things. You know, we're in a rat race, and you know, they can go on without one less rat. Amen. Smell the roses. Amen. Feel the Spirit. Amen. Enjoy the relationship with God and God's people. Amen. You know, some of you are thinking, there's this thing I got to do tomorrow morning at work, and I hope it's going to, you know what? You got to clear your mind. Amen. You got to enjoy the presence of God first before you can ever get to the place where God takes all those other problems out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we don't come to church to get some kind of seminars on how to be successful in the world and how we can twist God's arm in order to give us whatever we want. It's not that way. Amen. God's saying, if you will freely do what I want you to do, I can open the windows of heaven. I can give you. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Luke, the 14th chapter? Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That's us, folks. Then said he unto them, a certain man came, made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Pretty pathetic excuses, you know. I bought land, but I never looked at it, you know. I bought this new Cadillac, but I never drove it. I got to try it out on Sunday, you know. And my wife won't let me come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring and hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. His dream is that his house would be filled. People outside these walls aren't going to fulfill the dream of God. Your relatives aren't going to fulfill the dream of God. The only one who could ever fulfill the dream of God is us. It's the only ones. Jesus said, go out quickly and compel them, use your strength, use your persuasion. He who wins souls is wise, and you're wise if you want to win souls, and lean on them, put the arm behind the back. That's what the word compel really means in the original Greek. Why such urgency? Because it's not long. It's not long. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So one day, we're not going to stand before God in judgment because our sins are washed away, but one day, church, every one of us are going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to ask, what have you done? I want to be the keeper of God's dream. It is the very reason he gave the church the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This is before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We become the fulfiller of God's dream. You know, the problem is that many of us have come across people who just, like I said this morning, I'm not interested, that's good for you. And we've been rejected, and as a result, we just come to the conclusion, that's just not my part of the church. But no, if you have the Holy Ghost, there's only one purpose for the Holy Ghost, and that is to give you power in order to witness, to fulfill the dream of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we haven't at least attempted to fulfill his dreams, don't expect your dreams to be fulfilled. You shall be a keeper of my dreams from the beginning. Let us make man in our image after the likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. One day we will realize it didn't matter if we saw all of our dreams fulfilled. When we take our last breath, it doesn't matter if we live in a mansion or we live in a tent. It won't matter if we made thousands of friends on Facebook. It won't matter, you know, how we're dressed. It won't matter how we have furnished our houses. It won't matter at all. It'll only matter whether or not we have facilitated the dream of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the greatest purpose on the face of the earth. I cannot preach enough about witnessing. I cannot preach enough about teaching. I cannot preach enough that we need to duplicate ourselves in the church, because it is the ultimate goal. It's great to have music, and it's great to have nice soft pews, and it's great to have all of the things that God has allowed us to have, but there is more important things, and that is we need to fill this place because it's God's dream. Not so we get a pat on the back, but it is God. And one day, God's going to say, well, what did you do with the Holy Ghost that I gave you? What did you do to see God's dream realized in your life? I want to be a facilitator of the dreams of God. And I realized this week, you know, there's a lot of things that I've had given to me in, oh yes, I've worked, oh yes, I've been diligent, but so many of them, opportunities that I had because I have tried to make God's dreams come true from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to see some great things happen this summer. Amen. In this church. Hallelujah. Amen. In your life. Amen. Amen. But you have to make your priorities his priorities. Amen. Are you still okay? Are you still okay? Right. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. I've been preaching for a while, but I've come to the conclusion that there's nothing more exciting than teaching God's word. On Tuesdays, I've been teaching a small group, a Bible study, and it's like being at heaven's door. Because it truly is, like God told me years ago, because you have opened up your home to teach people, watch what I'm going to do for you. If this week, you'll simply pray this prayer, God, if there's somebody that you want me to talk to, would you open a door for me? But if you open that door, I'll open my mouth. You see, you can't be a witness with your mouth shut. If you'll do that, you watch and see what God will do. But then as you do that, watch and see what God will do for you. I'm absolutely convinced of it, folks. This is not a complicated message, but I believe it's a powerful formula for what we can receive from our God. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?